Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome back to Capitalized Podcast. I'm your host, your fave, Rachel. And today we have episode 54 with my dear friend, who's also an entrepreneur, just created his new business, Soul Fun Sports. And he's also a student. So, Kev Lomax, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Hello, how you guys doing?
I'm super excited to have you on here. You guys, this is like someone that we go back. We've known each other for a long time.
Yeah, definitely.
When you were still working at, what's that sports place?
Fitness system?
No, remember?
Sports.
Remember, I was a fitness instructor there and you used to work there as a coach, right? Or front desk?
Oh, Del Oro?
Yes.
Del Oro. Yes.
I was a fitness instructor.
Rocket Club, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And you worked there.
Yep, take me back.
And we didn't meet from that, but we had that same thing in common. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of funny how now it's like a
Sacramento vibes.
Yeah, for sure. Sacramento's small, but I haven't seen you in a long time.
It's been a minute. You
know? So it's good to see that you're doing really well.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And last time we talked, you were just kind of transitioning out of the sports world.
Right.
Out of playing sports.
Right.
To kind of like seeing what you could do next, or more so how you would continue to grow past what you felt like you knew.
Mm-hmm. Like the athlete, you know, athletes have that mindset. I wanted to move past that. You know, athlete was defining me a lot throughout my life as like an image. I wanted to remove myself from that and be more than just an athlete.
Yeah. And what was like your main, like just for the audience, what was your main sport and what did you exactly do like athletically?
I played soccer. I know that was my thing. Soccer and basketball, but I grew a very, very fond loving for soccer and attachment. And I just kind of just rode that coattail all the way until I just realized that it was enough for me, you know. Injuries kind of like stunted that a little bit, but you know, it was a good kind of like opening up my eyes kind of thing, you know, like there was more to the world, more that I could do besides just be an athlete. Yes.
And what was that defining moment you feel like? Because I know a lot of athletes that have this mindset, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, I have to make it. Like, this is my sport. I didn't come this far to only come this far.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely, yeah.
So I know a lot of people. A good friend of mine, he is also a trainer now. His name's Gabe. He played football, and he had gotten injured.
Yeah.
And he said he went through, like, this 2-year span of depression.
Yes.
And it just, like, weighed on him so heavily.
Yeah.
So I really want to know, you know, what was that defining moment for you where, you know, healing past what you went through physically and mentally?
Yes.
You know, and how did you kind of say, like, this is not going to define me?
Right. Honestly, I always knew, but it was a denial thing, you know. I think I realized that. Probably a year or two after high school, when I was just kind of like floating around, just playing soccer here or there, taking a few semesters, you know, doing that, just kind of just very erratic in terms of like my collegiate athlete life. But I say like the most turning corner moment for me would probably be, believe it or not, it was kind of like a blessing in disguise. I don't even know, however you want to call it, but probably right when things started shutting down in terms of like COVID pandemic stuff.
Really? Yes. So recently?
Recently, oh yeah. That was probably like the most gritty, just in your head kind of like thinking, you know, obviously you're confined, you know, to the house, and I was chilling there and I just realized, you know, like I have more purpose than this. I'm not going to be a professional athlete, though I already know I'm not, you know, so I came to that realization, but I still wanted to play, but I knew that I could do more and have a more impactful, you know, I don't know how you could say, like, presence on the community and, you know, the city if I took a different avenue and left the sports behind. To a degree, obviously, it's still influenced now, but it won't be my main driving force anymore like it used to be.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So really, COVID.
Yeah, believe
it. What were you doing prior?
So prior to that, you know, I was working for I call it pretty much like a mentorship group, you know. It's, you know, we just basically go to schools, teach kids how to play sports at the recesses, teach them words of the day, kind of like lifelong skills that they can apply to a sports, you know, situation and outside of a sports situation as well. And I did that for like about 2 years or so, and I saw the potential and the impact that I could have on these kids if I took my own talent and my own resources elsewhere. And like I said, another blessing in disguise. COVID happened, school shut down, you know, jobless just about like everyone else in the country. And, you know, you have to sit and think. So that was my time where I was just like, okay, I can probably do something else. This is my opportunity to get out of this, you know, because it was hard because I loved the relationship I had with the students and the staff at all these elementary schools that I would go on and do my work, you know. But I realized that there was more for me, you know, and I realized that I had to take that upon myself, but I just didn't have the courage to because I just had that strong, you know, love for the kids. But like I said, COVID kind of
pushed
me into many things. Yeah. I feel like it did for a lot of other people too as well, but I'm just sitting here speaking about it now.
Yeah, no, 100%. Right. So how did you come up with the specific idea about your current business and break down what your current business is and what you guys do?
Absolutely. So this is kind of like a weird, I call these universal coincidences, you know. So one of the social workers at the schools I would go to, she saw me. She saw my work.
Can I ask you something?
Absolutely.
Sorry. The social worker, right. Did the schools that you would go to, were they more like lower on the totem pole schools?
It was a mixed variety. So I saw it from all kinds of the spectrum. Okay. So I was up there in Folsom, you know, a little bit higher income, you know, annually in households compared to like, you know, like the, you know, Ranch Cordova area, South Sax and stuff like that, where, you know, less income, you know, but obviously there still is. And those were the kids, honestly, that I saw that they needed it more. All the kids did, obviously, in different situations and two different degrees. I just grew closer bond to the kids in South Sac and specifically Ranch Cordova, where I grew up at. So it was kind of like a circle of life deal. Which brings me back to when I was in the line, you know, taking my dog, you know, we're getting x-rays and stuff. You know, she had to get a new surgery. So she's getting her x-rays before, you know, I'm sitting in line and then there's someone else, you know, an older lady, you know, and she's looking at me like, okay, what are you looking at? You know,
okay, what are you looking at, lady?
right. Everyone's wearing masks and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's kind of really hard, you know, to tell who it is, you know, behind the mask. Everyone's, you know, mysterious and stuff. So she kept, you know, she said my name. I was like, oh, and then I looked at her and I was like, yeah, right. And I was like, it was Leslie, you know, her name was Leslie. And she had her little Yorkie, you know, in her hand and stuff like that. And I had my big old German Shepherd, you know, at my feet. But she pretty much was like, oh, like, how are you doing? You know, how's it been? And I'm like, you know, I'm not working. You know, I'm just, you know, I apply to 10 places a week. You know, no one hits back, obviously. You know, just COVID stuff. And just kind of locked in unemployment, just like everyone else. You know, I wasn't too pleased about it. Like, I would want to go out and earn my own. I just didn't want to rely on anything else for that. But anyways, she said, you know, I'm on these group chats in Folsom and Rancho Cordova. You know, the family, you know, the moms and stuff. And they keep talking about how they need their kids to get out and get active and stuff. And she was like, I think you'd be a good person to start like a little program, 8 to 10 kids, you know, per pod, COVID, you know, situations and stuff like that. And, you know, get them at a park and just, you know, have them do, you know, activities, you know, play sports and, you know, introduce them to things, you know, new things and stuff, like be that kind of like feel like a mentor, like a big brother for them. You know, some of these people don't have that in their life and it's unfortunate, but I would fill that void. And she thought I was a good person for that. And I thought about it. I was like, do I really have the time for that? Do I have the time for one? Do I have the capability? You know, always questioning, you know, that's a big thing. You know, you're like, you're dealing with people's kids, you know, so like that's like people's like life. You know, they give life to someone else and they put everything into it. So that's a big responsibility. So I had to think about all that. But as I days go on, you know, I spent more and more time with my notepad to, you know, to mind. I realized that I think I could do this. And the fact that she believed in me to do it inspired me even more to just take that, just plunge. And
And who is Leslie?
Leslie was a social worker at one of the schools.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah, started off at, I met her at Cordova Villa. And then I bounced around to schools in, you know, the Rancho Cordova School District. And then she was working there at Cordova Gardens. And she saw me. We talked on my breaks and stuff like that. And we just built a relationship. You know, and she saw what I did. She saw the genuineness that I put in interacting with these kids and for the well-being, like beyond what the company I was working for was doing. Like I was taking extra steps, you know, checking in on the you know, talking to teachers and stuff, making sure that they're acting right in class. I was actually, you know, they were pretty much like my kids. I would see them 5 days a week. So I built a relationship and they knew what time I would come every time. They would see me pull up and all come to the fence and stuff. It was, you know, just spectacular stuff. You know, you'd have to be there to actually, you know, feel it and stuff like that. But she told me that and one thing led to another and I realized I had the resources behind me and I just went at it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how was, like, what was your first step? Because obviously she had a few people in mind already that she wanted you to work with.
Right.
Right? So how did you go about kind of taking that first step? And did you, when did you actually start the business? Like, when did you come up with the idea to, like, oh, okay, you'll make it your own? Because right now it's just like an activity. Like, right. She wants you to go do this.
Right.
But when did you say, okay, I like this enough, I want to do this enough to make it my own?
Instantly. Instantly, yeah. I realized that there was potential for it. I was just scared. Everyone has their doubts and stuff like that. You know, we're humans. It's just human nature. But I realized instantly, and my first way to get it, you know, people noticing me was I just added myself to all these chats that she was talking about. Added myself, created a Facebook page, would post stuff on the Facebook page, be like, hey, I know I'm starting Soul Fun Sports, you know, carry on. We're going to be doing these times, we're doing these days at these parks, you know, come out, you know, check things out. And people just, you know, I just kept at it. You know, people obviously are reluctant. They think it's spam, you know.
And this is from March?
This was
April?
This was a month ago.
A month ago.
And wow. I have been non-sleeping. So you can ask anyone that has been friends.
You probably dream about it. I talk to myself about it.
Yeah. All that, mumble it and sleep.
I love it.
It's insane. You know, you kind of have to live and breathe it. If you have a passion about something, it consumes you. Mm-hmm. It's just the bottom line. And I hate when things consume me. I hate it. I hate having that something else that I don't even know really what it is. It's kind of like an intangible. It's just taking over. So once that happened, I realized that it was fire. It was a fire in me, and I just had to get done. I realized how many people I'd impact, and, you know, I realized I was doing it for myself. I was doing it for my family, you know, friends, like, to show them that I have some worth. You know, I have the capabilities to do something, and I'm passionate about it. So I just kept at it, you know, adding myself to these pages. You know, eventually, you know, people started coming up, you know, asking questions, you know, responding back, and I created a website, Facebook page, you know, the Instagram, and so on and so forth. And, you know, here I am. And then probably like I said, all this happened within like a month and a half. So got the LLC license right away.
And you started with nothing.
Nothing.
No startup money.
Nope.
Just a park just and a Facebook page.
Park and a baby. Facebook page.
I love it. Yeah, you got to start somewhere. Yeah. So I'm so curious. So, okay. So you were in the process of healing from your own, like, past experiences.
Absolutely.
That you were able to get introduced to this opportunity. Mm-hmm. But do you feel as if you were introduced to the opportunity right when everything transpired with, you know, you not really being an athlete anymore, right, or you not playing your sport,
right,
do you feel like you would have taken that opportunity right then and there?
Then,
when it
probably not. You know, it was recovery. I was healing. You know, I had just closed that chapter of my life, closed that door. And, you know, it takes some time to walk to the next door to open it up. You know, there's space in between. Doors are not right next to each other. There's space. So I close that door and I'm walking. So I use it in an analogous sense. That's how it was processing my head. I wasn't ready to take on anything. I needed to heal. I needed a husa. That's the best way to say, you know, taking my walks along the riverbed with my dog and stuff like that. And, you know, wake up, you know, early, catch a sunrise, you know, let the sun kiss my skin in the morning, and let the sun, you know, say goodnight to the sun in the evening, and just a constant, you know, routine. And then I realized that, okay, I'm ready. And I just took my dog, and that was that. I mean, I guess it was just a universal coincidence, as I say.
Absolutely. What are the things you feel like make you the happiest?
Make me the happiest, you know, seeing other people happy. It's very cheesy and cliche thing to say, but I genuinely mean that. Like, I put aside my happiness for others, because in a circle of sense, it makes me happy. So I'll put aside other things that make me happy to make other people happy, knowing that if those people are genuinely truly happy, that will make me happy, and I don't have to go out and do other things. Obviously, multiple things make you happy: money, clothes, all that stuff.
It has a piece,
yeah,
experiences,
all of it. There's multiple, you can go on and on and on, but I knew if I didn't try to get that stuff, material things, you know, intangible stuff like that, if that came back around to me, the happiness of other people, I would be fine. That is an internal and a deeply rooted happiness that will never go away. And it will fuel other things that make me happy.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
makes sense. And okay, so one of the things that you also mentioned was that we're talking about is like healing. So besides time, mm-hmm, what do you think is the number one thing that helped you besides time and the kids?
This is very cheesy.
I'm curious.
Yeah, very cheesy. It's going to be very simple. My dog.
Your dog. So you feel like a companion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She's been with me through the ruts. You know, she's seen me at my worst. You know, I do mainly a majority of what I do for her. Like, you know, like, it's a dog. They rely on their owner, and if the owner's not in good health mentally, physically, they can't provide for that. You know, it's a responsibility. People think just having a dog, oh, it's cute, yada. It's a responsibility. You learn a lot from having that. I have to. And I just, that was probably, you know, she's like my cornerstone. You know, she's that underlying feeling and motivation. Like when I get tired and I'm like, oh, dang, like, oh, no one's hitting me back, or, oh, this is not working. You know, like those typical business thoughts where you just think like, okay, I've been trying everything else. Like there's only so much you can do. It gets reignited when I think of her and, you know, those underlying fuel sources for my motivation. And she's one of them for sure. A mainline. Absolutely.
What about those people that don't have a support system? Maybe they don't have an animal, or they don't have, you know, both parents in their life, or, you know, any siblings, kind of just feel like they're on their own, mm-hmm. or maybe just not a supportive family.
Right.
What would you say for someone like that, that's really just trying to kind of figure out their purpose? Like, what is out there for me? What can I do? How can I matter and make an impact?
We are, you know, we're on Earth. It's small steps, you know. I mean, for me, everyone's different. For me, when I feel like they're, you know, helpless, like, oh, what am I going to do, like, lost, I immerse myself into nature. I am fortunate.
Find that isolation.
Absolutely. It doesn't have to be crazy. I'm not going on Yosemite or Bear Grylls hikes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm right here in my backyard, like, dang near, like, the, you know, American River. I just immerse myself in that, and it's become a constant. So whenever I feel like that, I can resort to that. That is, like, my home. I just pretty much tell anyone just to find that zen. It could be anything. Oh, it's your backyard, you know, create a space to where you just can block out everything just for a little bit. And just, it's not even meditation, just chill, relax, just kind of just decompress. You don't have to sit out there for hours. You know, I know time is of the essence. You don't have to, but just give yourself a little bit of time and just regroup. It's extremely helpful for me. Mine is, I get up, sunrise, I'm catching the sun. You know, I'm seeing that peak over the horizon. That is a, okay, I'm starting my day. It's a good start to the day. Very few things will wave me once that happens. If I allow that to happen every morning, I feel almost invincible every day.
Yeah. I almost love that.
Almost.
Almost invincible. Absolutely. Things happen.
Oh, yeah.
People are silly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there might be some silly drivers out there.
Absolutely.
People that piss you off. But
all that fun stuff, right?
You know, you just gotta smile. I literally set reminders. They've been going off during these podcast episodes. I have reminders, yeah. 4 reminders a day. Just reminding myself to be present, to be friendly, to be goal oriented, like things like that. That's literally like, not, you know, I have my own zen and things that I do when I'm having like a bad day or maybe things that happen. But, you know, it's a good reminder of like who you want to be.
Yeah.
You know, what purpose do you have, and what things can you do right now that can help you in your future?
Absolutely.
So, and speaking about future, these kids that you work with, they are the future, 100%.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of kids that don't have guidance.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm sure you see it when you go to the schools.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it.
So I'm curious, like, when you're meeting with these kids, especially the ones you feel like don't really have that support system, or maybe don't come from the best households, what are the number one, like, some of the main things that you try to encourage them to do or try to teach them when you're with them to help them in their future, whether it be now, later, like, just life lessons that they can understand to help them?
So they're kids. You have to remember that. Things are daunting. You know, everything's overly exaggerated. Simply just be like, it's going to be okay. You know, I'm going to help you through. I'll be here for you. You know, it could be the littlest things. Oh, that's why I say this program. It's this little thing. Just going out there for an hour and a half playing with it. Those things have impactful, I don't know, just, they have impact, extreme impact on them. Just that small time. Like they remember that for the rest of their life. And if it becomes a constant, they will look up, and when they get older, they will remember, okay, I was doing this, this helped me, got through, you know, this helped me, this can help me do this. I'm out here playing, now I can tackle homework, I can do this, things are kind of going over my head now instead of, like, hitting me hard. Obviously, human things are going to affect you, but if you kind of have, like, that outlet, I kind of see my program as that zen I was referring to. Mm-hmm. That's that zen for them. They don't really know what zen is, but I am making a zen for them. And then as they get older, realize that there is other things that could be their zen. So I believe for the kids that have the less fortunate things, you know, or are less fortunate, it's going to be okay. You know, I'm going to try my hardest to be there for you. And this program in itself is that zen. It's that zen. And it will help them. I 100% believe it will.
100%. Mm-hmm. I love that. Because there's so many kids, you know what I mean? Like, one of the things that really inspired me when I was first seeing, like, programs, mm-hmm. you know, like, for kids to be out
right.
during, like, very important times yes. of their life. Wait, first I want to ask, what are the main age ranges for, like, the people that are in your program?
So, for me, it's 6 to 12.
6 to 12.
But, I mean, obviously, I know middle school and high school kids, you know, they're coming into their own. They're not going to really do that. I know, like, the PE teachers are having trouble with them already now, holding them accountable for doing PE classes. So I can only imagine them coming out there. I get it. I was obviously that age once. We all were. So I understand that. The prime ages for me is 6 to 12. That's where I feel like the most impactful things happen, you know, in terms of life. Those are the things that they hold on to. And if I could implement this in their lives now, it will be for the better. During these times, you know, you have to realize that this was created for odd times. I wouldn't be doing this if it was a normal day life. PE would be there. Obviously, I see the PE in schools and stuff. It could have some work, you know, but I'm not on the school board. That's not my job,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I do my thing, you know, and
yeah.
this is in lieu of a PE class because of the closing down of schools and the social mm-hmm. distance learning models that are out there right now.
And how are you trying to adapt after COVID?
After
allows.
I feel like it would be established enough, hopefully, that people will probably, you know,
do it after school.
Yeah, do it after school. You think about homeschool, people who are homeschooled, that's an option too. Like, those are always, it's always going to be there, but it's just more, a little bit more prevalent and more, you know, noticeable now because this is the only thing that pretty much kids could do unless they go do it on their own or they have someone else do it for them. It's just an option, you know. It's an option, and I think it's the right option.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I was just going to say, the reason why I asked the ages is because one of the things that really inspired me that made me realize, you know, there's certain ages where it's like, these are the ages where you need to make sure that these kids are somewhere at a certain time.
Absolutely.
Because there's so many other things that could happen. Yeah. I know for myself, yeah. as a kid,
yeah.
I was an idiot. Oh. You know what I mean? Like, right. if I didn't have certain things in my life...
Right.
I don't know where I would have been or what I would have done or what would have happened. So, like, seeing it actually, they had their own, what is it? They had their own series mm-hmm. with Snoop Dogg.
Okay.
Yeah, and his, like, Little League team.
Right.
Oh, but yeah, I already knew about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure everyone knows about it.
Right.
But actually seeing it mm-hmm. and what they do for the mm-hmm. kids was super inspiring.
Okay.
Because these kids were mostly going into high school. Mm-hmm. They were going to go into high school or maybe, like, still in middle school.
Right.
But just seeing, like, you know, where certain people come from and the influences that they have in their life and if yeah. they don't do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously sports aren't everything.
No.
Physical activity isn't everything.
No.
But it's the activities that you do within certain times when you're at a certain age
yeah.
that make a huge impact. Wow. Because besides the household, like, there's school
yeah.
and there's sports.
Right.
And then there's extracurricular.
Yeah.
And those things make a difference.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, if this is basic. Like, if kids are not being active, it's harder for them to retain information. You have them doing social, they're inside already. Why do they need to be inside? They need to get out for a little bit. They're kids. They like to frolic. They like to do stuff. They like to smell fresh grass. I like to smell fresh grass.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they need to be out there just for an hour, just a little bit. And it will have such a big impact on them. They can go back. Their minds are not racing and thinking about chasing butterflies. Now they can actually sit and do a math problem or sit and dissect a sentence or, you know, figure out this and that about, you know, there's a multiple things. It's helpful. It's beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
And also eating healthy too on top of that. But that's another side thing too.
I mean, it's 100% right? like beneficial in every single way.
Oh yeah.
Like the fact that they're doing the activities, mm-hmm. they're being healthy, mm-hmm. they're being physically active, they're meeting new kids. You know what I mean? Like
social interaction. You say meeting new kids. These are lifelong things that people don't realize at schools. These are the underlying things that are always there. Everyone thinks education. Yeah, that's true. It's school. No duh. But
no duh.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that in forever. No duh.
But like,
I love that.
But there's more to it. Social interaction. You know, you're meeting Jimmy, is meeting Tom. You know, they're interacting with each other. These are things that they can take outside of a school setting and apply that to their regular life. Apply for jobs. If there is no social interaction, it's hard. It would be hard to go to a job interview. You're scared. You're nervous. You've been inside the whole time. You know, you barely interacted with anyone of your age. The only person you've seen are the walls, the corners, and your mom. Oh, dear God, you know.
Oh, dear God.
Seeing that 24/7, that's a lot.
Yeah.
They need to see some people their age, see people who look like them, same size as them. It's helpful. Just not in a, like, school sense, but a outside of school sense. There's mm-hmm. just, there's multiple things that this would hit. And this is, it's funny because this is so simple, but you truly have to have a passion and love for kids, you know? And not everyone can do that. And I've mm-hmm. learned that. I've learned that from the jobs I've had.
Yeah.
And not everyone's a kid person.
No, definitely not.
So that's why I love kids. I love them.
Do you do this by yourself?
Yes.
At the moment?
Right now, yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Do you do it every day?
It's every day, yeah. Monday through Friday, three times, you know, in the first part of the day. And then the last one, like, from 6 o'clock to, like, sunset.
Okay.
You know, obviously, it will change as the sun, you know, changes, you know, during the whole change of seasons and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then we'll have more times. There's a big gap in the middle just because it's extremely hot.
Yeah.
But as, you know, it gets cooler and stuff, there'll be times during that.
Wow. You see, we all see, like, from anyone listening or watching this, it's like, you hear, what would you consider yourself, like, a recreational company? Like, a rec company? A sports company?
I would consider myself, yeah.
An extracurricular company?
Sports. So, just a quick rundown of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not just all sports. The first half of it, you do your warm-ups, you know, it's just PE. Like, first half, you know, you do your warm-ups, you play, like, a PE game, you know. I was sitting at these schools. I was subconsciously, mentally noting what the PE teachers did, what they, you know, what their, you know, day-to-day things
mm-hmm.
were. The first half, you know, PE stuff like Sharks and Minnows, Red Rover, little things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Second half, introduce them to a new sport every week. Soccer first week. So Monday through Friday, we're doing basic soccer just to get them exposed. You know, between 6 and 12, that's when you're getting exposed to sports. Some late people start later. And they don't have the resources to get them into club teams at younger ages. But those are usually some of the prime athletes I've seen. So anyways, but second half is sports, you know, introducing them to sports. So first week, basketball, you know, and then second week, you know, soccer, you know, tennis, everything, lacrosse. Just things that some of these kids never would have experienced at some of the PE schools that they're at because they didn't have the resources for it. And I have those available resources so I can introduce them. I have friends who played collegially in every sport I just mentioned. So they can come and, you know, give some pointers to them. Like, you know, while I'm teaching my sessions and stuff like that, give pointers. They can teach sessions on their own. And then, you know, if kids really like that, they go back and tell their parents that. And now their parents are signing them up for sports whenever that is allowed again. But we also do provide individual training too. So it's hitting a lot of things. I've realized what sport can do to me and how that was a safe haven. I already know sports is a safe haven for a lot of people who like sports. And that's why I introduce them to them to see what sport they like. They latch onto that. They use that as the outlet to their everyday life. Like I said, they're like not in the best situation, so they can go to a local park right around the corner and go kick the ball around. If they don't have go kick the ball around like the side of the house. Just a little thing. There is a plethora of ways you can get out and be active. It's simple. So I feel like it's hitting a multitude of different areas. You know, I can go on and sit on this podcast for days and tell you. But I know the one thing that I want them to do.
Sorry.
No, you're good. Is, you know, like I said, soul fun is the last play on words, S-O-L-E, soul, is to have fun, you know. Once you have fun doing things, it becomes easier. Like I'm saying, it's going to be extremely easy, but things a little bit lighter and easier if you're having fun doing it. So that's the main thing. But there's also, like I said, there's so many things that it hits.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how you put so much thought into it, you know what I mean? And you already have, what I was going to say was, anyone who's watching this literally can listen to, like, you know, this is your business. This is what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's super cool. But then there's so much thought that goes into it. Like
mm-hmm.
the fact that you take a break between the hottest time of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I think about that stuff.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. You're teaching them a new sport every week. What? That's crazy. I would have never thought to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so creative, and you can tell when someone really is passionate about it.
Absolutely.
And I think that's one of the main reasons why, like, I think a business can be created and successful from any of your passions.
Absolutely.
Some people say, oh, there's just some things you can't create a business. No, no, no. Anything can be a business, just
right.
not anyone can be successful
that
in
part,
business.
That part, yeah.
But there, you know, there's a little intricate details. But
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, if you're loving what you're doing and
yeah.
you're happy regardless, that's all that matters.
Absolutely.
It doesn't always have to be about money or anything else, right?
No. Like, that's not even a thing. I mean, that's going to come. But, like, I really do care for these kids. I can't emphasize that enough. I really do. And I will do what it takes to have that impact. Because I know. I was blessed and fortunate enough to have a loving mom and, you know, sister and, you know, my grandma, my nana. They were my, like, pillars of my life. So I was blessed and fortunate. So my mom did whatever she did, she could do to have those available resources for me. But I had friends growing up that didn't have those resources. And I knew I would go over, I would see it. I would see it. I was young. I knew what was going on, but I just didn't have the mental capacity to process that and put it into words. I knew what was going on. I knew it. And now I look back on it, Soul Fund could have helped some of my other friends, and they could have took them in different avenues that where they're at now. So, yeah, I see it, and I'm just trying to get this on the ground because there's kids that need help out there. And you can't save them all. It's like that. But I can save as many as I can.
Kev, I love this. I literally, yeah. Like, I mean, there's a bunch of people that come on here, right, and right. I know that a lot of them are starting out,
yeah.
Or they want to start out, mm-hmm. Or they already have established, like, things that they do.
Absolutely.
And obviously, you know, not everyone is going to win in life, but I'm very mm-hmm. confident about the people that I bring on here that mm-hmm. they're on here for a reason,
yeah.
And they know what they want, or at least they have an idea. And they're going to make it happen regardless.
Oh, yeah.
And I can only imagine, like, what's going to... It's literally been a month.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just give me
Kev,
some...
Kev, yeah. Dude, we got to do a round two for sure.
Round
because...
two. Get at it. Let's go.
You're gonna crush this period. Like, the intention's there. The mm-hmm, idea
absolutely.
Is there. The purpose is there. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm super excited. So one of the main reasons I actually created this podcast was because growing up, I knew that I wanted more out of life, and I knew the things that I mm-hmm. wanted in my life.
Yeah.
I just didn't know how to get it.
Okay.
So I didn't have that, like, figure or, like, that mentor, that person to kind of guide me.
Oh, yeah.
So I just thought that, you know, I need to go to school. I need to get a good job. Mm-hmm. I need to make sure that
the
I make money to take
yeah.
care of my parents, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But I knew that that wasn't the route that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish I would have had something like this.
Mm.
Maybe if I was, like, getting out of high school.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think kids are going to watch this. All hopefully right. not. I cuss too much. But, but like, going
you'd
into
be
college.
If it's on YouTube,
right?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
TikTok.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, man.
But, so that's the main thing is, like, anyone mm. who's watching this, mm. I'm the type of person, if I would have seen something that was inspiring or someone that I related to, I would have reached out to them like that.
Yeah.
I would have wanted to see if there was an opportunity for me to work with them, get mentored by mm. them, help them with anything, even if I didn't really have that much value to give, just
mm-hmm.
anything to contribute to their purpose,
yes,
right? So
yes.
I could learn from them. So I'm curious. Obviously, you're just starting out,
mm-hmm.
but you do have a lot of things that you're doing. You're very busy. Is there any opportunities from anyone watching this that's really inspired by your story and what you're doing
okay.
to help you, to work with you, to get mentorship from you, to just reach out to you?
Specify that a little bit more for me, yeah.
Maybe if anyone wants to, like, help out or volunteer.
I mean, they could see I have my contact information. I have a website.
Okay.
I have Instagram
We'll attach
page.
All that.
Yeah. I have a website. I have an Instagram page. I have a Facebook page. It's 2020, guys. There's multiple ways. I hit a lot of ways that you can contact me. If you got to send me a pigeon with a note on it, it'll come to me. It's COVID
yeah.
times. It may go a little bit faster, so it'll get there. But right. I have my available ways to contact me, and I'm taking all help, you know.
Yeah.
Any of all help, yeah. Just think about, if you're going to help me, don't think about really helping me, but think about helping the kids.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You're helping me by helping the kids,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, I only have two arms and one mind, and it's running right now.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff is over, you know?
Yeah.
If you see, like, the little cartoon, you know,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
with the little steam coming, all
yeah,
of it,
yeah, yeah.
It's happening up there.
Got
so,
you. Perfect.
You want to relieve that?
Well, now
it.
They know.
Now they know.
Love it. All right, guys, you heard it here first. What about personally? Do you... have a, like, a handle that they can contact you at? Instagram handle.
Instagram, oh, yeah. My Instagram handle is SoulKev, SOLKE, two Vs.
Okay.
And my, you know, Instagram for business is Soul Fun Sports.
S-O-L.
S-O-L, yeah. Not S-O-U-L. That's the second play on words.
Yeah.
And the third one is S-O-L-E, but... we're going to go with the soul like the one in the sky.
Yeah, I like that. All right, guys, you heard it here first. Episode 54, we got Kev. Thank you.
Thank you.